And a good Monday morning to you. And yes, the Titans defeat the Rams 28-16. And if you listen to the narrative, which a lot of people feel like this is the narrative today, is what's wrong with the Rams? What happened to the Rams? Rams choked last night. The Rams weren't very good.
What happened to the Bills? What happened to the Chiefs?
What happened to the Chiefs? Well, you know, some of that stuff we already. How about what happened to the Cowboys? What happened to, let's see, the Packers, the Bengals, the Raiders? You know, all those teams we had in our top 10 that all lost this weekend. Tampa's like, man, thank goodness we had a bye. It's a good weekend to have a bye since all the teams lost. Saints, Raiders, Rams, Bengals, Packers, Cowboys, and yes, the Buffalo Bills to the Jags, who I had ranked 8th last week, and people reached out to me, how could you have the Bills 8th? I don't understand. How could you have them 8th? Well, I've been watching them. They look like paper champions right now. Like they have to actually play to their potential, and then they go lose to Jacksonville. So I feel much better about that ranking. So there'll be yet again another gigantic shuffle in our NFL rankings this week. Welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, alongside Chase McCabe, join us here shortly. He is making his way from the airport. He has already landed, grabbed his luggage or luggages. I don't know if it's plural or singular, and he's headed to the station coming from Phoenix. So he'll tell us all about his adventures at the finality of the NASCAR season a little bit later in the show. Elijah Campbell is manning things at our game studios. It did feel like that, though, to a lot of people, though, right? Because you hear people saying that. And I've been watching. I got up early. I couldn't sleep. I got up early. I don't know. Just, I guess my brain was racing, and I was watching all the shows very early this morning just to see what they were going to say. I knew the Titans-Rams game would be a big focus, and I do understand why certain, you know, why Titans fans do feel like it's like, what's wrong with the Rams, you know? Oh, Matthew Stafford, you know, this is what, you know, it's not just Detroit, it's Matthew Stafford too, and, you know, of course, talking about the play in the end zone, and there is no excuse for that. Like that, can you believe that? Just think about that, Willie. The NFL, two guys that have had success, you know, Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford, albeit regular season success, that's where their resume ends. But two guys that have been in the league for a while, Matthew Stafford definitely a long time, and back-to-back weeks, almost identical plays, the same thing happens. One, how many times do you ever even see that in the NFL? And for it to happen in back-to-back weeks with the same exact result is unbelievable, is it not?
I guess there's this impulse that I can't take a safety. I don't want to just, you know, live to fight another day, take the safety, take the free kick, and just deal with it. There's just that impulse, I guess, the quarterback has. Let me just see if I can chuck it. And it has burned them, burned both quarterbacks.
From 4 yards in the end zone? I don't know if that's a good plan. See if I can chuck it 4 yards
because
in the end zone.
Because if you can't intentionally ground it, if you intentionally ground it, it's a
it's
safety
still a
anyway.
Safety, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's so like as you're releasing the ball, the most likely thing, if you, unless you actually see somebody on your team, which clearly they didn't, neither one of them, you're better off just eating it. They know that now, but Stafford certainly didn't learn from Wentz.
Clearly, he did not.
But hey, all the better for the Titans. Boy, that game turned on two passes. And really three, because the Titans cashed in immediately, ran a really nice play to get the touchdown. So, great win. It's a great win. It's amazing what this team is doing. I mean, there's no way around it. It's incredible.
Robbie and Joe asked me since, you know, well, the two of us have been covering the team since they've been here, all the way even back to 98 over at Vanderbilt before they even moved into their new home. If I've ever seen a stretch run like this, and while we've seen great teams, right, we've seen 13-3 seasons many times, you know, ever seen a run like this? And it's like I said, a run like this on the schedule? No. Like I couldn't think of anything because I saw a stat this morning that said they're only the fourth team that's ever beaten four playoff teams in consecutive weeks. You know, they've done it. This is, they're only the fourth team to ever do this, to have a run where they actually had four playoff teams from the previous year on the schedule the next year in consecutive weeks and go 4-0. The other three, two of them won the Super Bowl. The other one lost in the Super Bowl. So the answer was no, I've never seen this, because this Titans team is only the fourth team to ever have a run like this. I mean, it is amazing. They beat the Bills. They shredded the Chiefs. They embarrassed the Chiefs, right? And they go to Indianapolis, and they beat Indy on the road. And they go to L.A., and they manhandle the Rams. I mean, they manhandled the Rams. They were clearly the better team. It was their game. It wasn't the Rams. It wasn't about what the Rams did. It was about, or what they didn't do. It was about what the Titans did do.
When you can rush the passer, it has so many things that are a domino effect. How are they doing it with Christian Fulton hurt and on down the list, all of the musical chairs of the defensive backfield? And I'm giving those guys all the credit. Chris Jackson, and you know, they brought in Maben. Breon Borders has been in there. It has been a who's who, and not in a star-studded way. It's just like, who are these guys? But when you can rush the passer, you have a chance. And then you've got the director back there in Kevin Byard that's holding everything together. And all of a sudden, the defense won them a game. We would never have thought that that was possible even a few weeks ago. But this defense gets better every week. And it all starts with the fact that now they're not having the blitz. They're getting pressure with the front four. And that's what I think is not getting around the league. That's what I think when everybody's saying, hey, they caught the Rams at a bad time. Or, you know, the Chiefs are struggling. It's not, hey, you know, the Titans are moving forward. I think the narrative has always been Derrick Henry. I think we found out last night that, A, this team has a special chemistry. They're really rallying together. But the other part of it, I think, is that the front four has started to become something pretty special. It gets better every week.
Simmons and Autry, they were pretty good last night.
Man, were they good.
They were awesome.
Man, were they good.
Oh.
Hello.
We have a sighting.
I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good to be here. So, yeah, I just listened to what you guys were saying. Remember how we said Jeffrey Simmons this year was going to be a beast and be a force to be reckoned with? Was last night the – and he's had some flashes, but I mean, there's been times you haven't talked about him at all. Was last night the coming out party?
I want to know, though. Here's my answer to that. And I'm not, this is certainly not to diminish anything of Jeffrey Simmons, because one, if you listen to the show, you know we're fans of Big Jeff. Big fans. One, he's awesome to talk to on the show. Our interviews with him have been awesome since he's been here. And two, you know, he's a beast. At times, he's not been great. At times, he's been really, really good. A huge disruptor in the middle. But I do wonder, to answer the question, how much of Aaron Donald do you think played a factor in the 98 last night? Because Aaron Donald is basically the only guy, right? The conversation always starts with Aaron Donald, and it should. Because he's earned it. He's earned that reputation, that right. He's got the skins on the wall. He is the most dominant force there at that position. But I wonder if Jeffrey Simmons, on that stage, Sunday Night Football, where all the attention is about the other guy that plays his position, on the other side, if this was him going, hey, what about me, though? I can do the same thing. And the question is, right, but whatever. But here's the difference, though, and this is what we've always talked about with the greats. You can have a great game, you can have a great month, you can have a great season. You can actually have a couple of great seasons. The greats, the elites, what do? They do it year in and year out.
Right.
That's what makes them special. That's what makes them elite. That's what makes them great. And to me, that's why Aaron Donald is deserving of all this, because he does it year in and year out. Can Jeffrey Simmons do – like, you're not going to have a game like this every game. I get it. That's not going to happen. But can you do it more consistently? Because if you can, you'll be in that discussion. But it's got to be more consistent. Because everybody knows you can do this. We just saw it.
But what's happening, though? Autry is coming on.
Yep.
Landry has come on. Now you're starting to see Bud Dupree get a little bit better each week. He's still the guy that I think can do more. That's helping Jeffrey Simmons. That's helping him. Now they've got the chemistry. Remember, that was the thing that jumped out at me with our interview with Bud Dupree not too long ago. He said they're starting to understand each other, the tendencies. You notice some of these little twists they're doing. Chris Collinsworth was breaking it down. You know, that initial push, and then I come around the end, that little stunt, that little whatever they call it, the game, the stunt. I guess we'll call it the game since we're on 102.5. You know, let's call it a game.
Well done.
But that's what they do. And then that's your change up off the fastball, and then he's got the fastball, like the one where he just absolutely knocks that guy back, and the guy's doing a straight back pedal, and he has no chance. So that's what's starting to happen. I think it's not just Jeffrey Simmons taking another step forward, but it's the guys around him now are starting to really gel.
No, I think there's something to totally be said for that. I mean, it's just the entire defensive unit is playing, you know, as one, and that's on top of everything that you brought up at the beginning of all the injuries that they've had. I think I heard Chris Collinsworth, it was Al Michaels last night, say that, you know, we were joking with Vrabel, like, how are you doing this? You've had 77 players, you know, play for
your
team.
Which I think is like 10 more than anybody else in the league.
It's incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable that they've had that, you know, many people play for the team at all these key positions. I mean, you know, defense is really where a lot of it's been in the secondary, but, you know, now without Henry and all the running backs, but they're finding a way.
When you can rush the passer.
I know. And they have.
And the other thing that they've done pretty well all year is they don't get gashed in the running game. It's hard. It's, you know, you can get a decent run here and there against them, but by and large, teams don't run much against them. They don't try to run much.
I'll say this, though. Who's been the great running team that they've played so far?
Who are the great running teams in the league?
Indianapolis has got to be the best team they've played.
Absolutely.
That runs the ball.
So who are the best running teams in the National Football League? There aren't that many.
There aren't very many, right? Yeah. That's true. It's very true. There's not very many. It's pretty amazing. I mean, just look at the list. I mean, okay, so let's look at the teams we have. You know, we've had the last 2 weeks in our top 10 rankings. The Rams, we just saw that. They're not a good running team. We know they lost their feature back before the season ever began. Dallas, they're a good running team. Green Bay, they're a good running team. Arizona, not so much. I mean, the quarterback, when he's healthy, he's a huge threat. I mean, James Conner looks like he's actually starting to play really well. But overall, Arizona's not this huge threat on the ground. Tampa, no. They're not a great running team. The Ravens, I mean, I don't know. They've lost all their running backs. So, yes, their quarterback is a huge threat. But other than that, I mean, are they a great running team?
I'd still call them a running team.
Yes, agreed. But
so they're
Buffalo,
they're unique.
Yeah, Buffalo's okay.
Buffalo is a throw to set up the run.
Bengals.
Just like I think the Packers, I would categorize their throw to set up the run. They have a really good running game, but it's secondary to the passing. It all starts with
passing. Well, that's
because
you have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But you have Aaron Jones and Dillon, and those two guys are pretty good. I mean, they're pretty good. New Orleans has got Kamara. We know that. The Bengals have Mixon. The Browns are a really good running team. I guess the point is,
a team that can run.
Yeah, Browns
are. They're a running team for sure. I would say Minnesota, you know, with Cook when he's healthy, is going to look to run. Christian McCaffrey, Carolina, when healthy, which is not very often.
Did you say the Saints? Who they have this weekend?
I said the Saints, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
So, but the point is, it's pretty clear over half the league, they're not very good at running the ball, right? They're just average or below average. So that's the good news. If you're weak in that department, and I would say the Titans are weak. I'm saying so far outside of Indianapolis, I'm not sure they've really faced a good running team. Seattle's not a good running team. They're okay. They're just okay.
But it's effective. It's effective run defense in this day and age. That's how I would categorize it. They don't give up five or six on first down consistently. They've shut down the big plays that were killing them early in the season. They're getting better. That's the thing.
And Vrabel said
they keep getting better.
He said that we have gotten much better since the beginning of the season. And you know, I was sitting there last night going, knowing, okay, we're talking about this today, and they're 7-2, and you know, there have been times after a win that we've sat here and we've gone, okay, yeah, they won, but this happened, and you know, if they don't fix this, then like getting to the quarterback or things like that, and now I'm going, they're just finding ways to win. They've this murderer's row of a schedule that we talked about, this four game stretch, they just went 4-0, and they were underdogs in all of them. Like that's what's unreal. That they were 4-0 as underdogs, and 4-0 as underdogs,
and won two of the games fairly handily.
Yeah,
fairly handily.
Yeah,
and when you get down to it,
and one of those was against the Rams, who you know, which the Rams have shown, like Detroit gave them a game, and now the Titans beat them. I mean, they've shown that they, you know, they have warts for sure, but.
I think that's everybody, though.
But you're not going to blow you're not going to blow somebody out every week in the NFL. No. It's just not how it works.
Jacksonville was ahead by two scores over Arizona back.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, back a few weeks ago.
But then they lost by double digits.
They won the game.
Arizona won the game. Yep.
Sure. But this league is full of twists and turns, and I think that's what the Titans have to guard against. There's still so much football left to be played. But man, it is impressive.
It's a fun ride.
What they're doing.
Well, awesome. It is a fun ride. It's just the question is, as we evaluate this team every week. Last week it wasn't about Derrick Henry, season is over, he's down, season is over. We said it. They're going to be a playoff team. This was before this game. And now we know they're a playoff team and they're going to win the division. They just are. That we know. The question is, though, this team wasn't, you know, put together this season just to be a playoff team. This team was put together to make a run, right?
Yeah.
To try to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's why they've put this thing together. The question is, will they be able to – and I don't know if that's the right word or not. I like the word, but I don't know if it's the right word. I think, Willie, you said experiment. I don't remember what the exact word you said later in the week. Last week about, you know, seeing how the life without Derrick Henry is going
to
look.
They have to try some different things.
They're going to have to try, but they've got time, right? They've got 8 games now to kind of figure out what is the right formula, what's the right balance, because who knew we would be sitting here talking about them shredding the Rams on Sunday Night Football in L.A., and it had nothing to do with the offense. It really didn't.
Well,
like you said,
they
the cashed defense
in.
Won the game.
I thought the offense was good enough.
Yeah, but
because
it
was put in a position to succeed by the defense, but you still have to say that's still a win, all things considered. First game without Derrick Henry facing the Rams defense, they got enough done, and they have to get better from here. But now they've blown up the narrative of, and it's our narrative as much as anything, that Derrick Henry's lifting everybody up, putting everything on his back. The team kind of picked him up and said, you know what, we got you. You've been picking us up. We're going to pick you up here. That's what a great team does.
Well, there's a lot of times whenever we say or I say, boy, I'd love to know, because we're all geniuses in hindsight, right? If we all knew before it played out, man, we'd be super smart. There's also times if we were loaded with information and we were told how it was going to play out, that it would work against us and we would like lose. We would be on here without our shirts on. Because if you would have said, hey, just FYI, I'm just going to give you a heads up, this is going to happen. Don't let it judge, you know, how you feel about the game. But the Titans are going to have less than 200 yards of offense. I would be like, whew, okay, let's start preparing Monday for life without Derrick Henry. They just got smoked by the Rams, but the Rams are good. All right. Like, nobody would think that they're coming out with a victory like that if you were told they're going to have less than 200 yards of offense.
No, but that's a great example, though, of why you don't just look at yards. Yards are for fantasy football. Yards are great for that. Yards are sexy looking, but context. They had a short field. They punched it in. They were put in a good position. They were protecting a lead. So it wasn't a game where they needed a lot of yards. Now, I don't know if they could have gotten them if they needed it. So I think there's improvement that's going to need to be made, and I think they've got a chance to do it. It wasn't their best game, but they got the job done.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is the moment we've been waiting for, and that's the defense to step up and win a game, and they stepped up and they won a game. I mean, that's really the storyline today. I mean, there are other sub-storylines. I mean, there's a negative one that I definitely want to get into involving their number one wide receiver, but he's got to make catches. He just has to. He's got the dropsies, and, you know, if you're going to be one of the greats, you got to make those catches. But the defense won this game, and I think that's something to be proud of and hang your hat on if you're the Tennessee Titans, especially if you're a defensive-minded coach like Mike Vrabel, to know that the area of your team that has been so criticized over the past several years, not just last year, that you didn't have a pass rush, and, you know, Kevin Byard, oh, he's overpaid, he's washed up. I mean, you have shut up a lot of that with this game and really the season. I mean, Harold Landry's a great example of it. You know, he's getting to the quarterback. Byard has been consistent. He's the defensive player of the month in the AFC, but, you know, he showed why last night. And I thought it was funny in his post-game interview, he told Michelle Tafoya, well, he was in the wrong – they told him on the sideline he was in the wrong spot. But see ball, get ball. So that's what he did. But, yeah, I mean, that's where you have to – just, yeah, I mean, there are going to be days where the offense is off, and they were, and the defense needed to pick them up, just like the offense has picked up the defense so many times.
We'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side. Also, if you want to get involved and weigh in on your opinions on what you think nine games into the season, we're now officially in the second half of the NFL regular season. The Titans are 7-2, and clearly they're the best team in the AFC today. There's no way you can argue against that today. We'll see how it all plays out. But if you want to weigh in and give us your thoughts, you can do so on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. That's 737-1025. We can do that when we come back. But right now, I'm going to tell you about my friends at Croatian CBD. You hear me talk about them every single day because our show is presented by them. And if you're like me and you have aches and pains all over your body, it happens as we get older, right? There's just some days, man, it's tough to get up and get going. Well, and you've been looking for that solution to fix that, like me? Well, I've got it for you. It's Croatian CBD. Croatian means healing, and that right there says a lot. Croatian is locally and organically sourced CBD products right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final cell, Croatian is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use, and, oh, by the way, for your pets too. Like in our household, we have a female German Shepherd that has seizures, she has medical issues, she's had tons of vet visits over the years, and lots of pills, and nothing's changed, and we've now put her on a pet tincture from Croatian CBD, and it has been a life changer for us and for her. So if you're in that boat, I highly recommend that you try this. It is specified for your pets, and we give it to her on an everyday use. And it has changed everything in our house. She's lost weight. She's got pep in her step. And the seizures have tapered off. And that's something we haven't seen in 3+ years. Order yours right now at CroatianCompany.com. Croatian CBD, curated for life. There you go. Nice win last night on the big stage. Titans win 28-16 over the Rams. Really never a game. I didn't think so. I mean, I know the Rams jumped out to a 3-0 lead, but it was 21-3 after that. Freaking blink an eye. The Titans were in control, and they finished it off, winning 28-16. There were a lot of big plays that were a part of it. I didn't think the officiating was particularly good in that game. Yet again, another poor officiated game, I thought. Personally, there were a lot of calls. I was like, really? Pretty interesting, though. You have to credit the Titans. The Rams are pretty disciplined team, and they were not disciplined last night. I will say this, the Aaron Donald penalty late in the game was ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. That's not roughing the passer.
Weak.
Now, the next
but
roughing the passer call
week
is exactly why you have that rule in place. That absolutely was roughing the passer. 100% roughing the passer. But the Aaron Donald play, like a shove out of bounds, like give me a break.
You see it every week. Every week, it sometimes it goes against your team. Sometimes it goes for your team.
But rest assured, the officials are graded and they are evaluated after every game. And so that should make you feel better.
But it's not something that the players are not aware of. The players are aware that if you do what Aaron Donald did, they might flag you. So I really, he didn't need to do that. It's tough because it's not roughing the passer. It's not. But he knows that he can't do that, or he's taking a risk that they're going to call it. So
I thought what happened to him getting the benefit of the doubt? I thought star players get the benefit of the doubt.
Apparently not.
So much for that.
Jeffrey Simmons hammered a guy last week. The whistle hadn't even blown, and he got a 15-yard penalty because it looked bad. They're calling those. Players have to have an awareness. And I thought the Titans, other than the throw, Tannehill's killing his stats with one bad pick per week, it seems like. He had the, mm-hmm. Of course, it's Ramsey. Ramsey gets those, right? Jalen Ramsey every now and then is going to make a play. But I thought other than that, the Titans played a really smart game. They didn't do anything to hurt themselves, and the Rams, of course, all you got to do is take one peek at the stats. 12 penalties for 115 yards. That's a ton. And there were some terribly timed penalties.
Well, that one right there kept the drive alive. I mean, that was balking.
Right. Yeah.
There were two on that same drive, on the touchdown drive, and that's where the Titans' offense was aided. Those are hidden yards that don't go on the Titans' offense, but those yards were on offensive drives that kept drives going and led to touchdowns. And they, to their credit, they cashed in with touchdowns. They didn't settle for field goals. So I thought, just like the Chiefs game, they did a great job on both sides of the ball managing the lead. You see a lot of leads disappear. You can come back in this league when you have explosive offensive players in a wide-open game like you see now. Titans have not allowed the Chiefs or the Rams to come back on them.
What did you guys think about, you know, with speaking of penalties, I know I saw on Twitter, and I missed the very beginning of the game, but saw the play where he got the unnecessary roughness call, you know, against A.J. Brown. They were, you know, spatting and everything. Was that not – I thought that was unsportsmanlike, so I thought he had two.
There was a lot of discussion about that.
Yeah.
Terry McCauley, he kind of threw his hands up and said, I think, you know, it just wasn't – and I put that down on my this is what I know. I think they just sort of outsmarted themselves. Too many rules, you know, interpretation. Why? Pretty simply, if you get two of those, you should be out of the game, in theory. I don't know why
that's the rule.
Well, there's some distinction. The guy even came on the loudspeaker, the head referee, and said, the first one wasn't because blah, 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 blah. And so that didn't count towards disqualification.
Right.
And so he knew something about the rules, but, you know, why is it that complicated?
No,
it should be pretty simple. If you get two, you're out.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a typical of they have this rule, but then they kind of massage it and make it up as they go. And
well, they didn't make it up. Something somewhere in there, there's a rule.
Yeah.
But it's like in college basketball, if you get two tees, you're out.
Right.
It's not, well, the first tee wasn't a real technical because it was a sorta and you were just doing it. No, you get two techs, you're out.
Now they have the flagrant, and they have all these different levels.
We're overcomplicating.
Really, that never happens.
The taunting thing is still a joke. Like I don't know what the NFL is trying to. It's just ridiculous. Like they're just acting like these guys. Now you can't even, you know, if you look at another guy, like you, they want them to play this, you know, this 60-minute brutal game. And never look at each other and say anything. Like, it's just stupid. I mean,
well,
just
it's
give me a break.
Like, they can't make
I understand.
Mind.
Like, just use some common sense on what's really taunting. Like, if you stand over a guy and put your cleat on his face mask and hold him down while while you've got your foot on his head, his helmet, like, okay. Like, and you're talking to him. Yeah, like, that's common sense. Like,
so
that's
Albert,
taunting.
Well, did you think the first one, when Ramsey made the interception, and he kind of ran back over top of A.J. Brown. He was excited. It looked like he put his hand down. Like, oh, I didn't see you were there. I don't know if
Yeah. But
so I'm not sure if he meant to do that or not. He was excited. He didn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
But it looked bad. That one kind of looked like taunting in real time. But when I slow it, when you looked at the replay, I'm not sure he really meant to just go over top of him like he did.
Right.
I think he was just running back to the field to kind of celebrate.
Well, he has a reputation. So, I mean, Jalen yes. Ramsey's not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you know, I think that was in play there.
But I agree. The taunting penalty is, I mean, this is one of those things that, and it's in the NFL and college football, they can't figure out what they want to do. You know, they for a while it's like, okay, we'll let you celebrate. You know, they still do. Like, as you go and you can do your group celebrations. But,
right.
You know, because they're just like, oh, we got to create sportsmanship. And, you know, we can't have too much of this. So they're being over, you know, I mean,
I'll go back to the same thing. Just like the roughing the passer. And we had this discussion about the taunting. The players know. They know that they will be called for it if they do it. So,
I know, but it,
be aware.
Know, if you're in the heat show of the moment, some awareness. You make a big play. I mean, like, I don't have, and if, you know, if I was a father, like, I don't have a problem with, you know, there's got to be a line. Okay, if you look at if you make a big play, if you intercept a guy and you kind of point to him or you kind of do the John Cena, you can't see me, I don't have an issue with that. Now, if you're doing like the throat slash or, you know, something flipping him off or whatever, then yeah, that's a problem. But it's knowing where the line is. I mean, you're a grown man. I think at this point in your career, you should know where the line is. And so therefore, if you're the officials, like let them go to the line.
Okay, I understand that, and that's how it was until they decided it was too bad, and so they put
and
these measures
that's
in.
It's wrong, though. I know it's wrong. They over.
Some,
I don't
some
know
things
why.
Had happened to bring them to this point,
right?
And what? So now players know
what was so, it though. That's what I would like.
They
to know.
Thought there was too much taunting before. I'd have to go back and watch games. I didn't like in college football. We all remember when it was in the late 80s, early 90s. You had Miami and some other teams that would go crazy. They wanted to be the trash talkers. That was part of their thing, and they kept taking it to new levels, and something had to be done. I didn't think it was like that in the NFL, but they decided, and they've told the teams, we're going to call it. So the smart teams aren't doing it. If you want to walk the line and still try to do it, you're going to get called. And
yeah,
you can bellyache about it if you want and try to get the rule changed. And we might feel like they should change the rule. This is not what we really want to see. But in the meantime, know the rule and avoid it.
Stop being
right.
The no
it's not
fun
about
league.
Knowing the rule. It's
yes,
about
it is.
Being in the heat of the moment, man. You're asking them to just to literally flip a switch.
Yep.
And
it's the same for everybody on the field.
Incredibly.
Everybody's got to do it. Yes.
This game
everybody has to do
incredibly physical, and you just have to turn a switch and
yep.
turn around. And what? It's just
yep.
like, come on.
Yes, you have to do. That's what you have yeah. to do. Everybody's under the same standard.
We can't sit here and paint the picture that these athletes are human beings and then paint them as robots when a play is over, because that's just not the case. We have done a great job on this show of trying to explain to people they're human beings. You understand that they, you know, they put their pants on the same way. They've got, you know, a significant other at home, and they've got kids or family in a lot of cases, and they've got troubles just like the rest of us. And you can't always expect them just because you make a lot of money or have a contract that, you know, that they're not fighting with their wife or whatever. They, you know, they come and their head's not always in it. Like that's what we've done is try to paint them as human beings and understand that they are humans. They're not robots. They're not superheroes. But then yet we want them to turn it off and be robots and superheroes when a play is over. Like, give me a break with that. Like, that's not how it works.
And but it's a heat of the
they're human
moment.
Beings.
Right.
It's a very
so human
passionate.
Beings, a human being's got to be smart, understand what the rule is, and adjust.
Yeah,
that's what every player has to do. These are the rules. You can complain about the rules all you want, but these are the rules. Next week, it's going to be the same thing. If you do it, flag. It's going to happen. So adjust or keep bellyaching and get 15-yard penalties.
Well,
that's what will happen.
But here's the thing. If they keep bellyaching, then there could be change to it. Because
okay.
That's
we'll talk
happened.
About it at the end of the season.
That's happened before. I mean, because to Darren's point, it's a human reaction. Like, prime example. Darren, what did I do on the Gatlinburg trip this year?
What happened? There was a lot that went on. Did you talk about the golf course?
Yeah. Did you taunt?
Yes. I hit a 40.
Did he taunt? He ran around the golf course with no shirt on.
Right. Okay. And I didn't even think about it. I just did it. And so it was heat of the moment.
And were you flagged?
No. I was not.
Well, he would have been if we would have had officials.
So the rules that you guys were playing with did not have a penalty for that.
But my point is,
well, I think the course should have had rules for that. I think the course should have had something in place.
Okay, so next year, their rules committee will sit down and say, when these guys come back, if he does that again, he's gone. It's over. So, and you will be aware of that, Chase, because you're a smart person. And you will know not to do that.
If he hits a 40-foot putt again, he's going to do the same thing.
Okay, but if the rule is, but if they tell you, Chase, if you do that again, if you sink a 40-foot putt, well, I'm not sure you will, but if you do.
Oh, I'll never do that again.
No,
you'll know, and you can't complain if they say you're out of here, because that's the rule. Right now, there's no rule. But you may have led to a committee meeting in Gatlinburg. Did you see that guy? He running around with no shirt on. He's running around. He's out of here. We're changing
the rules.
Swirling
the shirt.
Yeah. The shirt.
He's taunting.
Swirl.
He's clearly taunting the golf course. He was taunting that hole, that the greens. I mean, he was taunting that 40-foot putt that he sank. I mean, there's no doubt that was taunting, but nothing was flagged. We let him be a human being and celebrate a great play on the golf course. I mean, it's not that hard. Like I said, I understand that there are far extremes, and they should be penalized, and they should not be acceptable in the game.
It was
no matter
Chase
what level
extreme.
It is.
Yeah.
Chase is
yes,
pretty extreme.
That was a pretty extreme play. Like, I was like, oh, wow, this
oh, this is happening.
This got aggressive in a hurry.
It could have been influenced by, some beverage intake. That could have had something to do with it.
Possibly. But nonetheless, that was in play. But, but what we're talking about, there's just times like you have to let them. These guys, man, it is an extremely difficult sport, man. Every play, you can get roasted in front of millions of people. And it's, look what it takes to play at that level, game in and game out. It's, man, emotions are huge in the sport, and you want them just to turn around and walk away after a humongous play? Like, I just think that's unrealistic. I do. I don't think it's fair. Now, if you go the other way and you go to the far extreme, we all know what that looks like. We all know what it looks like. We don't need to describe it. You know what the far extreme is. Then, yes, don't tolerate it. Flag it. But come on. Some of this stuff, like, give me a break. It's like, every time, a lot of these I see, it's like if you make eye contact with the opponent, you're going to get called. Especially if you open if your lips move and you make eye contact, you're going to get called. Like, really? Is that where we are in the game? Like, you want to take that out? Like, they can't do that? Well, to me, that's unrealistic. I mean, Willie, you played sports at a high level. Like, you know how people are wired, especially when it's tough. You played in the SEC. You don't think
yes, Darren,
you don't understand
don't,
that it takes that
I,
passion.
You're
to,
misunderstanding. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think they could ease up on it a little bit, but everybody knows what the rules are.
Rules is rules, is what he's saying.
They emphasize it. They tell you. They show you the clips. They say if you do this, this will be called. So you have to adjust. That's all I'm saying. We can talk about it after the season. I'll be with you. I'll say, okay, time to ease up a little bit on the taunting. But in the meantime, the players have to adjust.
Yeah, you do that a lot, though. Hey, let's just talk about it when it's over. Like, let's talk about it now. Like, I don't want to talk about when it's over.
They're not going to change it.
I know, but we do a 4-hour sports talk show. We can talk about it now. We don't have to wait till the end of the season.
I'm telling you,
like,
I'm agreeing
allowed
with
to
you.
Do it.
I'm
we don't
agreeing
have any rules.
With you that they're sensitive to it, but there's a reason they did it. I'm not sure I agree with the reason they did it, but they decided before the season started. It's not like they just came up with this before the game last night.
I would like to know what the reasoning
is. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Nonetheless, it's a dominating win. It is the best four game stretch I've ever seen out of the Titans organization since they've been in Nashville. I don't think you can compare it to any other season, and they've had other successful seasons.
You think ever? I was going to ask
yes.
you that.
Yes.
I I would tend to agree.
I mean, I understand. 08, I remember the – I told Robbie and Joe this morning, I went in week two to Cincinnati with 60-mile-per-hour winds when you couldn't even throw the football. And they beat up on the Bengals that day, and they started that season 10-0. But they didn't face four juggernauts like that. By the way, we're talking about these four games. How about the fact that, you know, one of their losses, they had to start their season against Arizona. I don't know if you saw Arizona without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Colt McCoy, baby.
They tore apart San Francisco. And I get it. The 49ers haven't been great this year. They went into San Francisco and mopped them without their star quarterback and their star receiver.
49ers, not good.
So, by the way, that's five of their games.
Yeah.
Right there. Five of their games are this four-game stretch that we've already talked about. It's well documented. And Arizona, that's five of their nine. I mean, you tell me somebody else in the league who's gone through the gauntlet they have.
And they're 4-1. They're 4-1.
Yeah.
When you're looking at it like that.
Plus, but they lost to the Jets. They lost to the Jets.
Well,
yeah, that's what you're going to hear, right?
Everybody, the Bills now have the worst loss in the league.
That's my point. Is just you go around the league, most people have that happen to them.
Josh Allen had a great day. Allen was crap yesterday.
Which Josh Allen are you talking about?
Because
Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen.
Well, I just made the joke.
Allen also picked off Josh Allen.
Yes. I said Josh Allen had a great day, and Josh Allen was crap.
By the way, do you know who was the worst defense in the league going into this weekend?
Jacksonville?
That would be Jacksonville. Buffalo scored 6 points on them. Worst defense in the league. 32. Ranked 32. And Buffalo couldn't even score a touchdown. They had two field goals.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of the Cardinals, did you guys hear Cliff Kingsbury's little jab at Texas?
No.
That was great. He said, you know, he was asked about Colt McCoy, and he goes, well, you know, I'm glad that we could give all my friends down in Austin something to be happy about after yesterday. So good to see good to see Colt representing the Longhorns.
Man, that rivalry's still intact, huh? Texas Tech and Texas?
That's what they said. When you coach in Lubbock, you know, you still have some hatred for Austin.
Okay, I understand that. All right, we'll come back. By the way, we'll talk with TD at 11 o'clock. Mike Vrabel is going to go later today than he's been going at noon typically. It's not going to be noon today. It's going to be pushed back much later than that. Obviously, they played the Sunday night football game. We knew that, so it'll actually be after our show is over today. We'll come back more on the other side and to close out hour number one. By the way, I'll tell you the matchups of the playoffs in the league today if it was to start this weekend. We'll do that to close out the first hour. You're listening to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Also, you can go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, your favorite community coffee and tea shop offering a variety of coffee flavors and shine-worthy teas. Beanbag is a great place to have a meeting while sipping on a cup of hot or cold coffee or tea. Enjoy a delicious breakfast sandwich, cheddar broccoli soup, turkey sandwiches, and more. Get your deal right now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on the DDC, Titans get it done, move to 7-2 on the season. They go through a gauntlet on their schedule where they beat the Bills. They ripped apart the Chiefs. By the way, the Chiefs aren't fixed at all. They go to Indy and beat the Colts, and then they just stay out on the road and go to L.A. in their new home and beat the Rams 28-16. Life without Jordan Rodgers, looks like it's going to be interesting. Aaron Rodgers.
Jordan's on the SEC Network, doing a good job.
I enjoy talking to Jordan Rodgers, but Aaron is his brother, and life without him is going to be rough, I think, for Packers fans. Because Jordan, there wasn't a whole lot to love yesterday. Of course, that Chiefs team, there isn't a whole lot to love there either. They're just not fixed. They aren't. They've got issues. Maybe they can fix it. I don't know. But they continue not to impress. Okay, if the season were to end tonight after the Monday Night Football game, and, well, actually, it would be today. We're not including the Monday Night game. if it were over right now and next weekend was wild card weekend, do you know who the number one seeds would be in each conference? Who would have the bye?
Well, I know that the Titans would be.
The Titans had the bye. Have the bye, right?
Titans are the number one in the
And the Cardinals. Yep.
Titans and Cardinals would be your number one seeds in each conference. The matchups would be as follows. The Patriots would be in Baltimore to take on the Ravens.
Mm.
The Steelers would be in Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Las Vegas would be in Buffalo to take on the Bills. That would be your AFC wild card weekend.
So your division seeds are Titans, Ravens, Chargers, Bills.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. Hence the home games.
No,
in the NFC, Falcons. Yes, I said the Falcons would be in Green Bay to take on the Packers.
Weird.
The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah.
Arthur Smith's doing a nice job.
They're starting to get it together. Yep. Mm-hmm. The Saints are in Tampa to take on the Bucks, who they've beaten six times in a row. That would be an interesting matchup. And the Rams would be on the road in Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Can you imagine that as a wild card matchup?
I would
the Rams and Cowboys?
Prefer that not take place.
Wow. Hello.
Yeah, that'd be something. That would be. Well, they played in the, it may have been the divisional round a few years ago. But they've played recently in the playoffs. You know what's crazy to me with what you just said? The NFC South has three teams in the playoffs right now, where we thought it would be the NFC West.
Right. Yep.
Which they have two, but.
Well, we didn't anticipate a Russell Wilson injury, and the 49ers just, you know.
49ers got problems, and I don't think anyone's going to get fired necessarily because they're going to be in transition. You know, Jimmy G is what he is and can't stay healthy, but, you know, Lance is hurt, and so they're going to, I would assume, be moving on to him, but that team is underachieved. Now, you got to keep Kittle healthy. That's a big one, but.
Well, he was back, and he had a big fumble.
Yes, he did.
That he lost.
So
that's what it would look like today. So pretty interesting.
I think we'd all agree that is likely to change a lot. A lot.
Well,
there's so much time left in the season.
So let's look at it like this. The teams on the bubble in the AFC. The Chiefs have the eighth seed right now, I guess.
Browns, Bengals.
Colts, Broncos.
Colts.
I mean, they're all in the hunt. That's the realistic ones that are in the hunt for the AFC. Chiefs got to show me a lot. I mean, I'll give them history and Andy Reid, and, you know, they've earned a little bit of that, but they gotta show me much more than what they have. The Browns, that was big for them yesterday. That was huge. And, you know, the Bengals are coming back down to earth, which is, Darren, to your credit, that's kind of what you've been saying. They're around an 8-9 win team.
Yeah,
so
that's how it's going
to
play out.
They're coming down to earth. I don't, you know, the Broncos, that was a big win for them yesterday. I think maybe they're a little bit better than their record shows, but I still don't think they're a playoff team. And then, Willie, we all know your feelings on the Colts.
They're going to get there. The Colts are not out of it. I believe the Colts will make the playoffs.
And the Patriots, by the way. You were the only one that had the Patriots in your top 10 last week.
Yep.
They're looking good.
Well, I can... Spoiler alert. I think the Patriots are going to be cracking my top 10.
I do want to ask how Willie felt about having Buffalo at number 2 last week.
That might change.
You think they're going to slide a little bit? Possibly.
Scoring 6 against Jacksonville, maybe sliding down a little bit.
Yeah, and then on the NFC side, Carolina is on the bubble, but meh. And then the Vikings are awful.
the Vikings.
Yeah, well, I wrote
them
off.
They put themselves in great position. They've had some close games. They can't finish. Get it done.
Can't finish. Which is kind of a knock on Kirk Cousins, is it not? Big spots.
I think over on the NFC side is where you're going to see, like, I think Zimmer is going to be out. They're going to probably move on from Cousins, going to rebuild there. The Bears, we already know. You know, those are going to be two. I think Dan Campbell could be one and done in Detroit. But
yeah, it was an interesting hire, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, can anybody change Detroit around?
No.
That's kind of the way I feel. I mean, I'm not saying he's the right guy. I'm saying, is it really the coach? I mean, history tells us it's not really the coach in Detroit. It's the organization. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk with TD to begin the second hour of the program. Talk about the big win last night in Los Angeles. We'll do that next here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.